So we have been, welcome if you're new, if you're visiting this morning, we've been spending some time talking about the Holy Spirit. And so last Sunday we heard about how the Holy Spirit is like wind and fire, and we looked through those themes in the Bible, wind and fire. And this morning we're going to look at the idea that the Holy Spirit as a dove. It's just like kind of apt for Mother's Day, isn't it? Like, oh, everyone go, oh. It's so nice. The Holy Spirit is like a dove. So if you have your Bible, why don't you quickly turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, and it's verse 13. We have it on the screen for you. And it says, Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. Why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water. As Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God, descending like a dove and settling on him. It says like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy, or who in whom I am well pleased. And then we're going to look at John chapter 1 and verse 32, and it says, then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting on him. So I want to speak today about three things that the Holy Spirit brings us that are necessary for us to operate as a family, whether it's a natural family or a church family, doesn't matter, whatever it is, things that are relationally necessary for us to live sensitive to God's Spirit. And so straight up, I just want to acknowledge, when you hear the Holy Spirit, those words, the Holy Spirit, there's a million different ideas in this place. We've come from a million different countries, a million different backgrounds. There's lots of different ideas that are like, what is the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit operate? Or when someone does this, that's the Holy Spirit. When someone does this, that's the Holy Spirit. There's all sorts of ideas. And so I just want to give you like a real quick, like a rapid fire, what's the word? Condensed something to tell you what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, because the Holy Spirit is so beautiful and often the most ignored of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He's often like quite ignored, and like we love Jesus. I love Jesus and we love God the Father. He's a good, good Father. We love to sing it and we praise God for that. We love God and we love Jesus. The Holy Spirit is also God. And he's so wonderful and so beautiful. If I cry today, this is Daniel's fault. I'm just putting that out there. So the idea of spirits, that might be like totally familiar to you. You're like, oh yeah, in my experience, in my upbringing, whatever, spirits, the Holy Spirit or just spirits in general, yep, no worries. You might be completely unfamiliar with the concept, and that's totally fine, and you would not be alone. There are actually people in the Bible that Paul talks to, and they're like, yeah, we know Jesus, we follow Jesus. And he's like, do you have the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, what is that? And then they get filled with the Holy Spirit. So you're not alone if you've never heard of that before, if you've never heard of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Or another better way of saying it is just being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So God giving you his Spirit to help you live. It's really beautiful. It's really wonderful. So whatever your view on the Holy Spirit, I just want to highlight that he is God and that he will help you, like Dan talked about earlier, that he will empower you for a certain task. Even in the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit empowered people to do certain things. One of those things was like build a temple, like a beautiful temple with like gold and like amazingly creative things. So put your hand up if you're a creative in the room. You're a creative person. You like painting, you like whatever, music, whatever it is. That's a gift from God to you. You are not lesser because you don't love maths or you don't love whatever it is. Physics. Who loves physics? That is God's gift to you. And I do not have that gift, and I praise God for you. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to do certain things as we follow Jesus. He empowers us to use the gifts that have already kind of been inbuilt in us to serve God and to build the kingdom so that many would come to know Jesus and follow Jesus. That's what all of this is about. It's not about coming to church on Sunday so that we can sing some nice songs, although how amazing was worship this morning. Thank you so much, team. It was beautiful. But it's not about all of these programs and structures and whatever. It's that we would be people who exist in the world full of the Holy Spirit that would bring others into the family of faith that others would come to know God, that others would come to know Jesus. This is the point of all this, just reminding you, in case we get caught up in this church world, this is what it is. So the Holy Spirit is a leveler, because anybody who puts their faith in Jesus receives the Holy Spirit, and then he becomes a voice in our lives. Kind of like our conscience, but kind of not like our conscience, because our conscience is kind of shaped by our past experiences, by stuff that's happened to us, all that kind of thing. The Holy Spirit, he's a voice in our life that guides us. He's our comforter. We've talked about this morning, which was so beautiful. An advocate, a helper, more on that later. He's our empowerer and our anointer. In a couple of weeks, Charmaine's going to talk about anointing. Like, what is that? What is that really? What does that Bible say about that? I'm really excited for that. He's here to help us to see things the way that God sees them. That's why the Holy Spirit exists. He's here to help us to see the things, to see things the way that God sees them, to elevate our human understanding and to see with eyes of faith. How amazing does that sound? To see with our eyes of faith, he is God. So before we get into it, let me just pray for you real quick. Is that cool? God, we love you. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us this morning? Holy Spirit, would you show us who you really are? And as we have opportunity toward the end of this service, the end of this message, I pray, God, that you would just stir us to move out of our seats if we need to respond in whatever way that we need to respond, just so that we have a moment of clarity with you, God, with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you lead us and guide us and convict us and comfort us and help us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Show us who you are today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder how you're going with your person of peace. Does anyone remember we talked about a person of peace a few weeks ago? I've already had two people come back to me and say, hey, I asked someone to read the Bible with me, and they said yes. So that's really cool. So this week, if you haven't done that, this is a great thing to do this week. Why not just let's go? Let's go, church. Let's just do it. This week. And so I have a little story that Pastor Bron let me know about. And she was reading the book of John recently with her newly found person of peace. Never read the Bible before. Actually, had read the Bible before, but not with someone who loved them. Does that make sense? And so Pastor Bron's reading through the book of John, and they're reading what we've just read, that the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And as they read, this person said to Bron, is this what it means to like chew over the word, like to read it slowly, to think about it, to reflect on it? Bron's like, yes, that's exactly what it is. And this person stopped talking and started crying and said, I've only ever been yelled at from the Bible and told by the Bible that I'm going to hell. No one has ever done this with me before. No one has ever done this. So can I just encourage you? This is not what we're talking about this morning, but just throwing it in there because they were reading about the dove, which is what we're talking about this morning. You reading the Bible with someone, having the courage to put yourself out there and say, hey, I'm looking for someone to read the Bible with. I wonder if you'd be interested. It could change someone's life for eternity, not just for now. It could change their perspective. What is church? Who is Jesus? Who is God? It could change it all for them just because you took the time to lovingly read and reflect and chew over the word with them. So can I encourage you to do that this week? It will be awesome. One of the best things you can do. So they're reading the Bible, Pastor Bron and her friend. They start reading about how the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And so they're talking about, what does this mean? What does that mean? And so her friend said, well, it kind of means that it sounds like at this point there was something about Jesus that was recognizably different from this point, that the Holy Spirit would descend on Jesus like a dove. Note in Pastor Bron's story, the person knew in reading the Bible, this person who has hardly read the Bible knew that it didn't mean that a dove landed on Jesus and that's what made him special. They knew it was the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and it was a mark of God's favor, of God's spirit on Jesus. And so from here, who knows what happened after that? Anyone want to call it out? No. From here, Jesus was, yeah, that's right. He was led into the wilderness for 40 days for a time of prayer and fasting. I don't know about you, but I would never just decide on my own, off my own back, I'm going to go to the pine forest for 40. Who loves the pine forest? It's the best. Go there today if you haven't been there. It's my favorite place. Just going to go to the pine forest. I'm going to camp out for 40 days. I'm not going to take any food. Not going to take any shelter, not going to take a raincoat. I'm just going to go and I'm just going to trust God to provide for me. Like only the Holy Spirit could tell someone to do this, right? And so Jesus, this is what Jesus does. He goes to hear from God, to spend time listening and to hear from the Lord. And so the first thing I want to tell you, you can say number one, you know it wouldn't be church if I didn't make you say something. It's just how it goes. Number one, the Holy Spirit creates a hunger within us. A hunger within us. And so it's not like a physical hunger. Like, is anyone hungry right now who did not have breakfast? Same dudes. Can't wait for morning tea. It's going to be good. But that's not the kind of hunger. We're talking about like a spiritual hunger. Like, I want to know the things of God. I want to know, I want to live a life where I'm aware of the Spirit of God, a spiritual hunger, a hunger to go after spiritual things. And it's an insatiable spiritual hunger because you're a spiritual person. Did you know that? You're not just a person who loves KFC. You're a spiritual person. You have a spirit within you. And God, when you follow Jesus, the Spirit of God is within you. And this is how he speaks to you and convicts you and leads you and comforts you and all of those wonderful things. You're a spiritual person. And so the Holy Spirit creates within us a hunger for God. And the more we are filled, the more hunger we will have. I don't know if you've ever, like practically in your life, notice this. Sometimes I'll go through seasons where the more I read the Bible, the more I want to, like I cannot get enough of it. And then sometimes like the more I pray, oh, the more I want to pray. I just want to pray all day. And that's like this cumulative effect of the Spirit of God in you, because the more we do it, the more we seek God, the more we want to. So if you don't feel like it today, can I just encourage you, just make a start. The more you do it, the more you'll want to do it. That wasn't in my notes, but I'll just throw it out there. Next slide, abs. This is what a theologian named Dallas Willard writes, and I'll read it out to you. Next are those who burn with desire for things to be made right. Is that anyone? Like, God, fix this world. Like, things need to be made right. It may be the wrong is in themselves. Perhaps they have failed so badly that night and day they cringe before their own sin and inwardly scream to be made pure. Have you ever felt like that? I have. I have. Help me, God. I need your help, God. Make me clean. Make me pure. Or it may be that they have been severely wronged or suffered some terrible injustice. And this has happened to everyone. If you're alive, this has happened to you, right? And they're consumed with a longing to see the injury set right. Yet the kingdom of the heavens has a chemistry that can transform even the past and make the terrible, irretrievable losses that human beings experience seem insignificant in the greatness of God. He restores our soul and fills us with the goodness of rightness. How beautiful. So to be in this family, we've been talking about Acts Like Family Feels Like Home, hashtag. Acts Like Family Feels Like Home. To be a son or a daughter or a pastor or a sister or a brother or a friend or whatever you are today, we need to understand that any void or like longing that we have, that's actually not for another person. It's for the Spirit of God. That's the hunger that you feel for the Spirit of God. We might try and fill it with other stuff, right? And we've all done it. But it's time to recognize that it's a longing for God and nothing else will fill that. Nothing else will. It might seem unrealistic to you, but like even if you're new this morning, you've come to church for the first time or you've just come to like find out about church or you want to, whatever it is, it's actually the work of the Holy Spirit in you that has drawn you here in the first place. That hunger that we have is actually the Holy Spirit drawing us and drawing you. So that then enables you to be able to right-size people in your life. So no longer am I expecting my friend Leash to be everything to me. She doesn't need to make me happy. She doesn't need to buy all my food. You can if you want. She doesn't need to. I don't get my self-worth from the things that she says about me. None of that. I don't need to rely on another person for that. Because I know I have the Spirit of God within me and I can only get those things from God, not from another person. And it's good, isn't it? I'm not saying we shouldn't encourage one another. I'm not saying that. That's important. We should always do it as often as you can. But we need to remember that that void, that hunger that we feel, it can only be satisfied by God and not another person. Let's not put somebody else in the place of God in our lives to the point where we will be so disappointed that they can't be like God, because they're not. They're not God. And so the second thing that the Holy Spirit creates in us, say number two, is humility. Say humility. When I was writing this, it kept auto-correcting to humidity. Yeah, say to the person next to you, it's the humidity for me. The Holy Spirit is so humble, and he's probably, we talked about, probably the most forgotten person in the Godhead. And I think many of us prefer God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Bible. I'm kidding, that's not a thing. As opposed to the Holy Spirit, who is like a dove and like wind and like fire and anointing and refreshing and life-giving and all of these things. Because it's easy to wrap our head around God the Father, God the Son. It's easy to wrap our head around the Bible. It's easy to intellectualize the Bible. But the Holy Spirit's kind of a little bit of a mystery in some ways, isn't it? We can know as much as possible. Like, we can learn everything we can about the Holy Spirit. But at some point, maybe we need to accept that this is actually a mystery. The Spirit of God, we could never understand the Spirit of God. We can never understand God. He wouldn't be God if we could wrap our minds around him. And so I'm not saying let's not think through these things, let's not think and study through these things, but what I am saying as it pertains to the Holy Spirit is that I wonder if you would have faith enough to trust God with mystery, to trust God with the things that you don't understand, and just trust that his character is good. And so should he minister to you by the Holy Spirit this morning, when you come down the front for prayer, as you respond, whatever it might be, as you're praying with a friend, should he decide to speak to you in a way that is, he hasn't spoken to you before, perhaps we could just embrace that and trust that he's a good God and he knows what we need. He's not going to weird you out. He's going to speak to you in a way that you will understand, because you're his child and he loves you. The Holy Spirit is so wonderful. So he continues to convict and empower and lead to truth and lead away from sin and glorify Jesus. Everything that is his job, he does. He's wonderful. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit, when we hear about the Holy Spirit as a dove descending on Jesus, it's not like it didn't descend like an eagle, like this powerful symbol. He didn't just like run at Jesus like an emu, like fast and like confronting. It was like a dove. How beautiful. A dove that is gentle and sensitive. So beautiful. Jesus actually says of himself, "For I am gentle and humble in heart," doesn't he? And so that's by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that Jesus would say, "I am gentle and humble of heart." And empowered by the Holy Spirit, you and I as well, we can walk into all of our spaces, all of our family environments with humility as well, because we have the Spirit of God within us. So what does that mean? Oh, actually, the youth girls, they have a little Bible study every Thursday. They have a little prayer board. Like, they're so much more holy than all of us, you guys. They have a prayer board. They pin their little prayers, what they're praying for every week. And one of them I read this morning, I don't know who it was, but someone wrote, "Pray, I want to be more humble." I was like, that should be my prayer. That should be your prayer. How beautiful. I want to be more humble. And so you might think, like, you know, being humble, I'm surrounded just by strong personalities. Is that anyone? You're at work or in your family, you're just surrounded by strong personalities. They'll say what they want and they'll do what they want. And you might think, how can I be humble? I'm just going to get walked all over, you know. Have you ever thought that? I have in certain situations. How could I possibly be humble? But empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can be humble as we walk into these environments. And perhaps humility requires us to not walk into some environments, but that's a whole other story. Jesus was renowned for his meekness, for his humility. And a fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And it's a gentle strength. That's what it is, a gentle strength. The expression of power with reserve or gentleness. That's humility. It's not being a doormat. That's not what humility is. Humility is not, in our culture, we just get it mixed up, don't we? In our culture, humility is not like, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I have no boundaries, I'm never right, I'm not good, I can never say no. That's not humility. That's ridiculous. Like, don't do that. Humility, I think, is being so confident in who you are in Christ that you don't need to fight to be right, that you don't need to justify yourself. You don't need to be pushed in a mold that isn't really who you are. You are at peace with who you are in Christ so that you can love other people selflessly. I think that's the spirit of humility. And I could be wrong, so happy to disagree. Tell the person next to you, it's the humidity for me. And finally, the third thing, not that the Holy Spirit creates in us this time, but that the Holy Spirit is to us, which Dan already talked about, is helper, helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is called our helper. So some Mother's Day trivia. Are you ready? Because the word helper has been one of the most misunderstood words in biblical history forever as it relates to Adam and Eve. In the book of Genesis, the Bible calls Eve a helper. I'll make a helper suitable for him. So I just want to talk a little bit about what is that really? What does that mean? So the helper, I think we have the word abs. I'm not going to try and say it because I don't know how. It means something far more powerful than just a helper. It means like a lifesaver. I'll tell you more in a moment. This phrase is only used elsewhere of God when you need him to come through for you desperately. This is the kind of vibe, this word helper. It's not like helper, like someone who's helping you in the house or anything like that. It's not a subservient thing. And so when we consider, like we wouldn't consider the way that God helps his people. If you look through all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, in your own life right now, the way that God helps you, you wouldn't say, we say the Holy Spirit is our helper, God is our helper, but you wouldn't say he's subservient in any way, would you? Like, no way, no way. He's powerful. He's amazing. He's our provider. All of these things. So the helper, this term, more closely, it probably means you couldn't do this, or this would be a whole lot harder or a whole lot less good without me. That's the kind of helper God is to us. And that's the word that that is used for Eve, but that's a whole other story. So when we bring this attitude to our communities that we're a part of, not just church, but maybe to your family, wherever you find yourself, maybe at work, this idea that we are willing to help one another, that I have what you need, and you have what I need. We are helpers to one another. We help one another. We come in humility to one another. We are humble in our communities. We are humble. And we bring our hunger for God, which helps us to serve one another. I think this is part of what the Holy Spirit would want to do in us and for us and through us as a church. So let's bring this attitude to our communities that I'm a helper. I'm not an observer. I'm not a spectator. I'm not a passive beneficiary. That's not what this is. God is my helper. The Spirit is my helper, and he will empower me to help others. This is part of our Acts Like Family Feels Like Home. So it requires all of us together to bring these things. And when we do, we bring beautiful life to those around us and to our church family and to our families and to whatever relationships we might find ourselves in. After Jesus has been baptized, the Spirit had descended on him like a dove. He stood in the temple, and these are some beautiful words that he quoted from the scroll of Isaiah. And we read them in Luke 4. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has now come." So the Lord has a for you. What I mean by that is the Spirit of the Lord, if you're a follower of Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives within you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, within you, for a reason. For a reason, and it's not just for you. It's not just for yourself, although he is our helper. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for he has anointed you. But God doesn't just say, figure out your purpose and go and do it and you're on your own. God doesn't do that. Like, he's so kind. God's like, I'm going to show you and tell you what you are purposed for, what you are created for in this world, and then I'm going to help you by the power of my Holy Spirit to outwork all that God has for your life. So I hope you've never, as a teenager, I remember going to like Planet Shakers, like youth camps and youth, whatever you call them, what are they called, conferences, and people talking about, you need to know your purpose and you need to like save this generation for Jesus. Jesus and all that. And it sounds beautiful, right? It sounds so beautiful. But what I found is it put so much pressure on me to know, what do I need to do? Who am I supposed to be? Because if I don't know, I'm not fulfilling God's will for my life. And what I've discovered is I heard one man, Mal Fletcher, and one thing that he said in a conference actually that I was at was, vision, so your vision for your life, purpose, vision, is a revelation over time of who God is. Vision is a revelation over time of who God is. So similarly, we can talk about these three characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit, he will stir up hunger within us and humility within us. If we just chase after these things, if we just seek God more than trying to figure anything else out, God's purpose for you will be outworked as you seek to be humble, as you seek to be stirred in hunger by the Holy Spirit, as you seek to have God to be your helper and your comforter. So if you're a young person in the place, I just want to say you don't have to have it all figured out today. You don't have to. Over time, and as you seek God, and as you pray, and as you read the Bible, if you just get to know God, he will tell you who you are. That's it. Don't feel like you have to have it sorted out. I feel so sorry for the HSC students. Oh, they've got to have it all figured out this year, because this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. But guys, it's not. You'll change careers 7 times. That's the average. Relax. If we all just decided, not just teenagers, but everyone in this room, imagine if we just decided, I'm just going to seek God. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill me. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to stir a hunger within me. I'm just going to be humble, and I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to help me. I wonder how much more quickly we might figure out who we really are, because he will show us when we're close to him. He will show us. God is so kind. He's so kind. So if you're here and you're confused about your purpose, let's just begin to cultivate these things. Humility, hunger, and the Holy Spirit is our helper. Might just ask Kesh to come if that's all right. Or actually the whole team, because we just might take a moment, respond. If you want to come forward for prayer, like, let's just do it. Let's just get out of our seats and do it. And so just before we do, doves are a sensitive bird. Have you ever held a dove or like been up close with a dove? They're like a little bit flighty, aren't they? Like they don't like the sudden movements. Andrew's mum had a... Was dove sitting one time, bird sitting for someone, and they had a white dove. And I remember Isaac as a little kid, like he'd have to like stay real still, and then we'd bring the dove out of the cage, and he'd just be like, he was actually petrified. I don't think he liked it. Anyway, he was like, oh, he's holding the dove on his hand, and like, you know, you can't move about and jump about. You've just got to respect the dove in order to keep it there on your hand. And it was really beautiful. Anyway, so doves are sensitive, and the Holy Spirit is also sensitive. Not afraid, he's not afraid of you, but sensitive to what's happening. And there's a guy called R.T. Kendall, and he relays this analogy that a preacher spoke of in England. They had moved under the direction of, they felt, the Holy Spirit. They had moved to Jerusalem, and the house that they were renting, a dove came and rested on the house. That's cool, hey. And they felt like, wow, this is a really beautiful thing. Like God was confirming that they had their move, that they had moved to the right place. But what happened was, whenever the husband and wife would argue, the dove would fly away. The dove would leave. And the husband and wife came together and they just said to one another, we can't change the dove to accommodate us. We need to change to accommodate him, to accommodate the dove. And we cannot change the dove to accommodate us. And so, as we mentioned, if you have the Holy Spirit living with you, if you've decided to follow Jesus, he is the seal of your move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Best we learn how to accommodate the Holy Spirit, not because he's scared of us, it's nothing like that, but there are conditions and attitudes of the heart with which the Holy Spirit will be more receptive, where he will rest, where you will not be distracted by other things. I wonder if it's time for us to just figure out, how do we accommodate the Holy Spirit in our lives? In Ephesians 4, it says this, and do not bring sorrow on God's Holy Spirit living in you by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, just like the dove resting, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. Hunger for God rather than others, humility, and help. These are the things that the Holy Spirit brings. Let's not grieve the Spirit. Let's not scare the dove away, hey? So we're now going to practice the presence of God, practice the presence of the Holy Spirit, just like we made room for last week, just for a few minutes. And so maybe we can all stand together. Let's all stand together for a moment. And so in this safe space in the next few minutes, we can ask a few questions. I think I have some on the screen, but I'll just read some questions to you. Maybe we can ask, Holy Spirit, what do you need me to do and be right now? What do I need to give over to you that is a barrier to my presence, to his presence? And as you take a moment now, perhaps like we read in with Dallas Willard, Abs, if you could pop that back on the screen. Perhaps you burn with the desire that things should be made right. I feel it. I feel that so much, that things should be made right in the world, but also perhaps things in your own life. Oh, I just need God, Holy Spirit, make this right, this hunger that we have for him to make things right. And maybe you've missed the mark. Maybe where there is sin and you want to be made pure and you want to be made right with God. Like, let's just take a moment. Let's just do that. There is no barrier now between you and God. Jesus came so that we could come close to God. How beautiful. And so if that's you, why don't you come forward? I'm happy to pray for you. If you've been wronged and you're like, Holy Spirit, I need you to restore my soul. I need you to restore my soul. If that's you, we're going to take a moment now. Move out of your seat. If you want to come down the front, I can come to you if you'd like me to pray for you. Let's just bring these things to God. Abs, I think I got, oh yeah, here we go. You desire for things to be made right. Inwardly, you're asking God to make you pure and to help you. Or you've been wronged and you've suffered some injustice and you just want God to help you. God, I need your comfort. Holy Spirit, I need your comfort here, your help here. Because God can transform the past. He can. So let's just take a moment. The band's going to sing. Baba, you just want to lead us in worship. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come out of your seats if you want to. I'll come to you, whatever we need to do.